It's always an honor and privilege to minister to all of y'all, and then some all you watching all over the world online at www.rhema.tv, now broadcasting in HD. So, you know, you can get high definition television on your computer. So anyway, I don't know how you have television on your computer, but it works that way some way, or on your device. Now, you know, sometimes that actually some of the signals now are broadcast actually better than the TV can actually can broadcast, which makes no sense either. So comes in sets of, and actually, you know what, cable TV can't always give you the signal anyway, so I don't know why. But anyway, we have better signal, better service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for each and every person that's here in this room and each and every person that's watching us online or watching us later on demand. But Father God, we just thank you for their lives. We thank you that you care for them, that you have a plan and a purpose for them. And we thank you, Father, that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. And Father, we just thank you today as we go to minister your word. We thank you, Father, that word will not return void. But Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And we thank you, Father, to help us not just be hearers of the word, but help us to be doers of the word. Help us to go out and proclaim that word. Help us to take the words that we hear today and help change somebody else's life. And Father God, we just thank you right now for revival. Revival to this generation. Revival to this nation. Revival to this world. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst today. And Father God, we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but in your strength, your power, and your might, and your ability. We thank you today as we go to minister your word, that they won't see me ministering, but they'll see you ministering through me. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way, and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromised gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for everything that you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. And Father God, today we just pray especially for mom and dad as they're relaxing. Father, we thank you, Father, help them to rejuvenate and refresh and refire and be ready for this upcoming school year. We just thank you, Father, for everything. In Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. So Denise said that she's in kids' church right now, ministering to your kids. Obviously, she can't ministering too much because she listened to what I say, I guess. Which, I mean, she probably is not actually on stage. She's probably somewhere in the back. Or someone just told her, you know, we live in a day and age where you can say something and 10 minutes later it's around the world, you know. And actually, anything you say from this pulpit goes around the world because we have people from around the world that are watching us right now. It might be 2 a.m. where they're at, but they're watching us right now live online. So it's interesting that there are a number of people who attend this church probably every Sunday morning. It might be not morning in their time zone, that you never might see, never might shake their hand, but they're getting blessed just like you're getting blessed. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm not sure if you want to call this a sermon or what it is, but I want to give you some thoughts. Some of you may or may not know. We were in Kansas City, Missouri yesterday at Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun, having fun, because that's what you do at Worlds of Fun. You have fun. Now, you know, I thought it was going to be a little cooler. I mean, cooler, not mean cool, like people are dressed really nice, you know, and stuff. I mean, cooler, you know, weather-wise, because a thunderstorm hit right before we actually left for the park, and actually, you know, it clouded over and things like that. I'm thinking, oh, praise God, it's not going to be so hot. But you know, the sunshine came out later on, and I guess my phone actually must have heat index, or maybe my phone just heats up because it's black. But one time it says on my phone that my phone was 106.7 degrees. And I was 107.8 degrees. Oh, no. No, it just felt that hot. You know, But we had a wonderful time with the young adults of Synergy here, the young adults of this church. And if any of you are a young adult or you're single of any age, we invite you to come join us on Tuesday nights over in the RMA building. If you're new on campus, don't know what RMA building is, you can ask someone, they'll let you know. Or in your literature, it shows you what and where the building is. It's the Rooker Memorial Auditorium. And so if you're just showing up here on campus, maybe you're an incoming student, get used to all the initials because every building is initialized because we're too lazy to say the whole name. So I didn't start it, somebody else did. Anyway, but we were at Worlds of Fun having a lot of fun, you know, and that's being spiritual because Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So he came for us to have fun. Whether you go to Worlds of Fun or not, you're supposed to have fun because Jesus came. And, you know, he made our life incredible because of what he did. But, at Worlds of Fun and a lot of other theme parks, they, here the last few years, actually starting in about 1999, Disney introduced a thing called a Fast Pass. And then it caught on with a lot of different other theme parks. And now what you can do is you can pay a premium price and you can bypass the line. Anybody ever done that? Or anybody ever scouted the people who've done that? It makes it nice not to have to wait 2 hours in line sometimes, and so you can ride all the rides faster. It costs money. It's interesting. I was thinking about this, and yes, eventually, I didn't start off with it. Eventually, I did buy one of their things. Now, they actually call their pass the Fast Lane. So my message tonight is life in the Fast Lane. My message this morning. I don't know what time it is. I got home at 1 o'clock, all right, a.m. That's okay. I don't sleep much anyway. Life in the Fast Lane, that's where all Christians want to be. We want to be in the Fast Lane. We want to be getting somewhere. That's where, I guess, the world wants to be. We want to be moving. But, it's interesting because at first I didn't have a Fast Lane pass. And so me and Skyler, my youngest son, and Rich King, the music leader, we got in line for the Patriot roller coaster. And Patriot roller coaster, one of those roller coasters that your feet dangle. Anyone ever seen those, been on those? And understand, these are called thrill rides because you get a thrill. We'll let you know, just for some of you that don't know anything about theme parks, you go on thrill rides, you get a thrill for 2 or 3 minutes, and then you get a wait for another 2 hours, for another 2 minutes of thrill, to wait another 2 hours in between consuming whatever beverage you can find at exorbitant prices. These Fast Lane passes or whatever, they actually make a lot of business sense. From a business mind, think about this. They don't add any more employees. They don't add any more rides. They don't add any more nothing. And they make more money because some people choose to pay a premium. And by paying a premium, you get quicker access to the ride. But anyway, so me and Skyler and Rich, we were standing there in line and, waiting patiently with another, 200, 300, 400, 500, how many people there were, just minding our own time, trying to find shade. And all of a sudden, here comes our other kids and some other people, interesting part about it, it was all the younger kids, of the group, all the ones who still live at home, but they have jobs, especially summer jobs, and so they all live at home, and so their parents are paying most of their bills, so they have extra money, so they can afford to go buy the Fast Lane passes. So as they come walking by and smiling and waving, I'm thinking, maybe we should buy one of those passes, and I understand a lot of times I don't like to spend extra money, or extra, but I don't like to wait in line either. I know that we're supposed to be patient, but standing in line is in 100 and something degree weather is not my favorite pastime. Although you would think it is, because any theme park you go to, man, is filled up, and people do it all the time. I found out, though, when people start getting in the fast lane and going by everybody, immediately, all the people who don't have one start making excuses why they don't have one. And that's what we do as Christians. We start making excuses why we're not getting ahead with God. Why other people are moving forward and we're not. Well, I grew up in the wrong part of town. I had bad parents. I didn't start coming to church until I was like 28. I mean, they started early. They got a jump on me or whatever. They start making excuses. And some people actually get bitter about you passing them in line. I sure wish I could afford that. Or some of us are just flat out saying, I'm just too cheap to afford that. I can really afford it. I'm just not going to spend my money on that or whatever. But people start making excuses why they're not getting ahead. And that's what we as Christians do. We make excuses. We see other people, getting blessed and going ahead of us. And we start, instead of devising a plan, which we should, if other people are getting ahead, we should devise a plan to be able to do the same thing. So when all these kids started going by us, we got together and began to talk out a plan. Now, one thing we found out with these fast lane passes, the more you buy, the cheaper it is. So our plan was to find more people that wanted to pay more money so we can all save time and get on the rides faster and ride more things faster. So we developed a plan. Hey, we're going to go find some other people, because we had a whole group of people in the park. We're going to go find them and see, hey, do you guys want one of these passes too? Because if we can buy more, it'll cost less. So we save money. But you know what? Some people never think about that. They just sit there and gripe. But what we have to do is, when other people are passing us by, let's develop a plan. Now, sometimes our developing a plan isn't going to help us right now. Sometimes you have to develop a plan in the future to not put yourself in this position where everybody else is going by you. Everyone else is they're on the fast lane, and you're here on the slow boat. You're not even in the boat. You're waiting to get on the boat. In a long line. In hot weather. And you're having fun. The one thing about it is that when you come to a theme park, you have plenty of time to socialize. Because you have nothing else to do when you're waiting in line. And, technology's awesome, but batteries die. So eventually, whether you like it or not, you're going to have time to socialize. And, note to self, if you do let your battery die because you decide to socialize with people outside, your surroundings, you socialize with people all around the world, and your battery dies, and then other people you're with can't get a hold of you, then it causes issues as well. So save your battery. But one thing we need to do is develop a plan how we can get in the fast lane. Quit sitting and griping about everybody else moving forward and decide, you know what? I'm going to join them. I've seen a lot of times when an individual gets blessed, God blesses a certain individual, all the other good Christian folks, they're griping about it. Well, bless God, I'm a better Christian than they are. I've been to church all my life. They've only been in church for 3 years. Think about that. They spent most of their life serving Satan for 3 years, and God's blessed them more than he's blessing me. I'm not sure why. Well, the reason is because quit griping and start planning. Start deciding, I developed the next mentality. If somebody else gets blessed, you say, well, I'd like to have one of those. I'm next. Amen. Actually, sometimes, you have to be next to say, my time's now. A lot of times the reason we're waiting in line is because everyone else got in line. You know, my grandfather always said, if you, you know, call a line for anything, people will jump in line. So one time he actually proved that he was praying for people. He says, all y'all that want to go to hell, go here and get in line over here. And people actually got out of their seat and started getting in line because they didn't hear what he said. They just thought they were going to get a blessing. You know, my grandfather said he really did that one time. You know, and he's cantankerous sometimes, so I can see that. But we have to remember when everyone else is in the fast lane that God is not a respecter of persons. See, some people think, well, I've heard people say this all the time, if I could just have the faith that Brother Hagin had, well, where'd he get his faith from? The same source you get your faith from. In fact, you know, some people never realize that they don't go back. If you actually study, you know, about my grandfather, about his life, you know, the biggest miracle that happened in his life happened at 17. Now, you know how many faith messages he heard at 17? None. Maybe a few good Baptist messages he heard from his, you know, good Baptist pastor. When you know, the one Baptist pastor who did show up, they asked three different ministers to show up, but only one of them actually showed. Whenever he got there and he was going to ask him about this faith stuff and how it works, he grabbed him by the hand and said, be patient, my boy. In a few days, it'll all be over. And began to plan his funeral with his mom sitting next to him in the same room. Because he was partially paralyzed, he was trying to speak, but he couldn't speak. He couldn't really get the words out because his, you know, mouth wasn't working right. And it was like, no, no, no. He said, just be patient, my boy. In a few days, it'll all be over. So praise God for ministers giving us hope. You know, and the thing about it, I'm just being honest. I mean, think about this. He went from that to getting healed. Because he had already got the word before this minister came. But you know, what happens a lot of times when people, you know, they say stuff that puts us down, we just keep falling down. Well, I guess I just can't get it. I'll just be patient. He said he waited for 3 days to die and he never did. So he picked the Bible back up. Maybe that's your problem. You put the Bible down. Now, see, the thing about it is he hadn't, you know, I can guarantee you probably without knowing all of you that probably everyone in this room knows more about faith than my grandfather did at 17. You've heard more messages. You know the 99 steps to receiving anything from God. Because you've read the book, you know, you put your right foot in, put your right foot out, you put your right foot in and shake it all about. You know, but some people actually, they miss their left foot and they start with their right arm, you know, and then they're like, oh, that's what happened. I forgot my left foot. Or maybe you got the left foot of fellowship, you know. But the thing about it is it's not about some kind of formula. It's about trusting in God. Now, he didn't have any more faith than you have. God's no respecter of persons. He simply put into practice what faith he had. Actually, you know, it says if we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, we can move a mountain. How much faith do you need? How many mountains do you need to move? And I don't know if you know how big a grain of mustard seed is. And if I still carried my actual Bible all the time, I would show you hundreds of grains of mustard seed that I carry in my Bible at all times, because everyone carries mustard seed in their Bible. Do you carry mustard seed in your Bible? It's because I would talk about it a lot in my faith messages, and I didn't ever have a mustard seed, and I was like, it was like, oh, about this small. So someone actually just gave me a bunch of mustard seed, which I didn't realize that you can buy from your spice aisle at Walmart or any other grocery store, you know, because I thought you had to go to the seed, you know, the seed shop or something like that and buy mustard seeds. I didn't realize that, you know, you can get them there. Now, I knew I could get sesame seeds at Burger King, you know. But I like my sesame seeds, so I don't pick them off, you know, but some people do. But so I had these mustard seeds, and I carried them with me so that way I can show people how big a mustard seed is, and it's not very big. And so that's all the faith you need to move a mountain. So how much faith do you need to get rid of your headache? I mean, think about that. I mean, you know, mountains are pretty hard to do, so how much faith do you need to get rid of your headache? How much faith do you need for whatever? The problem is, all you got to do is believe. Man, don't let everybody else go by you in the fast lane. Decide you're going to believe. Now, you know what? Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you came from. Over in the Acts chapter 10, and I'm going to read verses 34 through 36. I'll read first from the King James Version. This is when Peter went to Cornelius' house. Remember that? And, you know, Peter found out, or he got a revelation from God that this gospel was not just for the Jews. It was for anybody and for everybody. And that's when he got the revelation that God's no respecter of persons. He loves everybody. Anyway, it says this in Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. Now, the NLT translation says it this way. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. If anybody else gets to go in the fast lane, then you can too. All you have to do is decide that you want to go. Quit making excuses and go ahead and do it. Adopt the motto from Nike, just do it. Decide you're going to enjoy life in the fast lane, because that's what God wants you to have, a life that's an awesome life. Amen? It says, in every nation he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. It was a message that God gave Israel, but it's also the message that God gave everybody. And see, at that point in time, they thought, well, that was just for the Israelis. And there are some people that still think that. It's just for Israel. No, it's for everybody. It's for you to accept. You know, it's you have to decide, you know what, God, I'm not any more important than you are. We're all the same. Now, the only reason that I might be in the fast lane and you're not in the fast lane is because I decided to accept my blessings. And you're still making excuses why you haven't got them yet. Well, I haven't prayed enough. You know, I really hadn't been that close to God. Haven't done this, haven't done that, haven't done, you know, we go through the haven't done's. You know, it's interesting, a lot of people never even take their Bible out until things are going terrible. So they get to what I call the camp meeting, the mud pit, and they get that mud pit mentality, then all of a sudden, the light comes on, well, I guess I'll pull my Bible out now. I'll read what the Word of God says. And in the time to be built up on the Word is when everything's going great. Because that's when you build a firm foundation so that you know what to do when things are not going great, I should say. Proper English here. But we also have to understand that our God is a God that's more than enough. Amen. Now, we know that, it says he's El Shaddai, which El Shaddai means the Almighty, all-sufficient God. The Almighty, not only is the Almighty, he's also all-sufficient. Now, he says, he's more than enough. Now, that means that we serve the God of pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But here's the deal. Well, actually, you know what? Over in James, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask, and he's going to give it to you liberally. But really, you can substitute wisdom for for strength or whatever else you need. If any of them ask for anything, he's going to give it to you liberally because you know, we have not because we ask not. Ask what you will and it shall be done, the Bible says over in John chapter 15. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, the thing is, you have to ask. But we serve a God who's more than enough. Here's our problem. We get satisfied with enough. Now, I'm going to say, obviously, you know, we had a lot of young adults that went on this trip to Kansas City, and we stayed in a hotel room, and, you know, they had to provide their own food, and amusement park food's not really cheap. And so I know a lot of people, you know, that they believe God to get the money to go. You know what? But they could have actually decided, well, instead of it costing this much, you know what? I'd like to have a fast lane pass too, so it's going to cost this much. So let me believe God for this whole amount instead of a partial amount. Or let me believe God that, you know what? God's going to provide everything I need so that I can enjoy life to the fullest. And you know, it's a whole lot, you enjoy it a whole lot better when you walk by everybody else in line. Now, you don't taunt them and you don't mock them. You just smile and wave. And the interesting part about it is, you know, a lot of times you don't always see all the people, but I know one of the things, you know, you see some people, they're griping, some people complaining, but I saw there were a few people that stopped me and asked me, well, how do I get one of these and what does it cost? And is there a way to get it cheaper? You know, well, there's a couple of ways to get a fast pass. Or fast lane pass. You can pay for it. That's the easy way. Not easy. Sometimes come in your pocketbook. Or you can win it. There was there was a game there. One of those midway games. You could actually, you know, try to win one. But most people probably spend more money than it actually costs if they actually won one. Or I've actually seen some theme parks give them away as prizes for being picked in a show or something like that. You know, they'll stand up on stage and make fun of yourself and those kind of things, you know. So you make fun of yourself now, so you don't have to wait in line. Or it can happen what happened to some of our folks. Someone can just bless you with one. We had some of our folks, and well, actually my oldest son, and they were in line to get their fast passes, and the guy in front of them accidentally bought two more than what he needed. So he just gave them two. He didn't say, hey, if you want to pay like half price, he just gave them to him. He wasn't with the group. Praise God. But we serve a God that's more than enough. I'm going to give you a good example. A number of years ago, I decided that I wanted a new set of irons, you know, for my golf clubs. I wanted a new set of irons. And so I believe God for that. Now, some of you don't know what an iron is, you know, because iron sharpens iron, but it's, you know, it's the irons, which, you know, that's the clubs that look like iron. The flat ones, all right? Opposed to the woods, it was not even actually wood, you know, they some sort of metal, titanium alloy or whatever they are. But anyway, I just want a new set of irons. I didn't really need a whole new set of clubs. And so I was believing God for that. But before I could get it stopped, I mean, God gave me enough money to buy not only irons, I bought all the woods, although they weren't wood. I bought three new woods, even though I had some pretty nice ones. I bought some better ones because I had the money and I gave my other ones away. A new bag, new golf shoes, and a new golf hat and a new golf glove and some balls. Unfortunately, I didn't have, like, you could get the 48-pack of balls because, you know, that's what you have to have when you play golf, at least the way I play it sometimes. But you know what? I didn't start out actually wanting all that stuff. I just believed God for the irons. But see, God blessed me more than enough. And if we expect God to bless us more than enough, he will. But most of us, I mean, you know, we're like, well, you know what? Enough would be good. Some of you you're okay with almost. If I almost have enough money to go on this mission trip, I'm okay with that. You know, I can pull a couple hundred dollars out of my own account or whatever. You know, I can put something in. But you know what? God can bless you exceedingly abundantly, more than you can ask or think. Now think about that. How much can your mind think about? I can think about quite a bit. I have a good imagination because, you know, I watched a lot of TV when I was growing up. And they told me to have a good imagination and, you know, those kind of things. I grew up watching Sesame Street Electric Company and my favorite Mr. Rogers, you know, It's a Wonderful Day in the Neighborhood. Beautiful day in the neighborhood. Won't you be mine? Won't you be mine? Won't you be my neighbors? And that's why I really like that scripture, to love your neighbor as yourself, you know, because I learned to do that watching Mr. Rogers. And I always wonder why, when he came wearing one sweater and changed sweaters just to talk to everybody. I'm not sure why, and why he had to change shoes to really, I never saw him running or anything. I'm not sure why he had to change all that, but anyway, part of the show. If any of you want to see that, you can watch that on YouTube now. You know, what's interesting part about it is you know, we're raising our granddaughter. She's 22 months old now, and what we've found Netflix and Hulu and stuff like that. She watches Sesame Street all the time. I got one episode a day. She watches it nonstop, 24 hours sometimes. Maybe not 24 hours, but in fact, when she's not even in the room, I'm watching Sesame Street. Or Barney, or whatever, you know, because Barney is a dinosaur from our imagination. Anyway, I get to watch all these things, whether she's in the room or not, because I don't turn the TV for whatever. So I'm learning, you know, the number of the day and, you know, the word of the day. The other day it was Glockenspiel. That was the word of the day. So I know it blessed you. But, you know, I was only going to watch, I only going to watch one time a day I could watch if I was watching the TV in front of the TV at the right time, had her on the right channel, I could watch it. And, you know, now she can watch all the time, which is amazing because you learn a lot faster than I did, because it took me, like, you know, learn the whole alphabet. I had to at least watch 26 days. You know, The thing about it is, God wants to bless us. It's his desire to bless us. Now, I was thinking about this, too, when it comes to the fast lane. You know, the reason that we buy that fast lane pass is to have quicker access, easier access. But you know what? When it comes to Christianity, people are looking for shortcuts. People think that they can buy their way into the kingdom of God. I've seen people, a lot of people, you know, whenever they're sick, they want to give a big offering to the church. Now, if they just want to give an offering because, you know, they haven't really given and they feel bad about it, that's, you know, I guess that's one thing. But I told people before, you know, you can give an offering if you want to, but that's not going to make you any more healed or any less healed. The Bible doesn't say to give to this mountain and it will be removed. It says to speak to this mountain. You know, actually, the Bible doesn't even say to pray to this mountain. See, some people think if they give enough, then they can gain access. Or if they pray enough, you know, because they learn at a young age, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Neglect your Bible and forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Learned that in children's church when I was a kid. You know, but the fact of the matter is, I don't care how much you read your Bible, I don't care how much you pray, that's not going to gain you any better access. The thing about it is, a lot of people are reading their Bible, a lot of people are praying, but they're not doing. One of the first things I always pray whenever, it says, help us to be doers of God's word. You know, it says we have to ask. Ask what we will and it shall be done. You have to decide. First of all, you have to make a decision that you're going to get out of the slow lane. You have to make a decision that you're going to get with the Pepsi people. That was the slogan whenever I was, I had a teacher, Mr. Roundtree, and he would say every day, get with the Pepsi people, people. Actually, I like Coke better than Pepsi, but you know, for Mr. Round, if it got me an A, I'm okay. I'll be with the Pepsi people. I'm okay with that. You know, actually, I prefer Dr. Pepper because that's the official drink of Texas. My Brazilian friends hate Dr. Pepper for whatever reason. They think it tastes so. So when I got this one night Dr. Pepper shirt when I was in Brazil, and I'd walk the beaches with my Dr. Pepper shirt, you know, just because I thought it was funny. Now, some people never had it, but the ones that did, everyone's like, ooh, Dr. Pepper, it tastes like medicine. I'm like, really? Man, I wish I had that kind of medicine when I grew up. But the deal is we have to just get up. We can't earn access. You know, we, a lot of us, we're trying to earn access. Well, you know, some of us, we say, well, you know, I haven't been a good enough Christian. If I'm a better Christian, you know, then God will let me in. He's going to meet my needs. You know what? That's a lie from the devil. The devil will try to lie to us and tell me and tell us that we have to be good enough. You know what? If you're going to try to be worthy, you're never going to be worthy enough. But you don't have to be worthy. You just have to be. See, we were given access freely. Jesus gave us access on Calvary. Jesus gave us free access. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to, you know, shell out any extra money. We just got to jump in the fast lane because we want to. Because we have the right and the privilege and the authority to jump in the fast lane. Now, see, we know we had a wristband, you know, that means that you paid and had all this stuff. But, you know, whenever you come to the kingdom of God, you get your own wristband. It gives you free access at any point, any time, day or night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 or 66 days out of the year, depending on what year it happens to be, because it might be a leap year. You know, I don't want to leave that one day out for you. God's here for you, ready, willing, and able. And you know what? We're all his favorite. See, we can't concept. We can't get that concept. There's always, someone has to be this real favorite. Come on, tell me, God, who is your favorite? See, that's why some people say, well, I can't be like Brother Hagin because he was his favorite. No, we're all his favorite. He loves us all. Now, I'm going to tell you the one people that trump the fast lane passes at Worlds of Fun. That's the people that are hurting. Because you know what? We're waiting, ready to get, now, I didn't get in the front row. I was but in the first car, there was six seats. And all of a sudden, this lady comes in a wheelchair with five of her friends. I'm not sure if they had them before she came to the park or not. Or, you know, I guess, you know, that might be good. If you want to socialize with them, meet someone in a wheelchair, because they come wheeling up the exit, you know, she hops out of a wheelchair, they hop into the front car. I mean, you know, the front car, there was like 10 people, you know, 10 different people waiting in line for their front car, and they got front car access because they were hurting. That's pretty awesome. They didn't get to make them sit in the back or sit in the middle or whatever, and they bypassed us fast lane people, and they actually got quicker access because they were hurting. You know what? When you come to Jesus when you're hurting, you have quick access right to the front. Man, many times that we're hurting and we're like, well, how do I do this? You just come to Jesus. You just come boldly to the throne. You know what? I mean, you know, you just come up there with all boldness. Say, I'm getting in front. I need this Jesus. I need this stuff. I need to be in the front. I don't want to be in the back. I don't want to be in the middle. And I don't want to wait for it. I don't have time to wait for it. Man, when you're hurting, Jesus is there. He's ready, willing, and able. You know, I love this story about blind Bartimaeus. You know, Jesus was walking. Jesus wasn't preaching at that point in time. He was walking out of the city of Jericho. Where are he walking out of? Because the walls were falling down in Jericho. He was walking out of the city, and blind Bartimaeus began to shout out, Jesus, help me. And it says, you know, here he's walking. All of a sudden he heard the cry of faith, and it says, and he stood still. Because he heard somebody was hurting. And Jesus said, man, if you're hurting, you know, come on down. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to show you how good I am. I mean, you know, God loves us so much. We don't have to earn God's love. And God's love is for everybody. See, that's one thing, you know, the biggest problem, you know, if being the best Christian or the best, you know, following all the rules was good, then all the Pharisees would be good because they followed all the rules. But their heart was wrong. See, it was all about rules and it was about them and God blessed them and nobody else. And you're not following the rules, so God can't bless you. Sounds like a lot of people I know in my church. Not this church, maybe, but in the Church Universal. You know, it's all about, well, you got to follow the rules, and if you follow the rules, then God will bless you. No, God will bless you because he loves you anyway. You know, and a lot of times, too, we have to understand that God, you know, people look at outward appearance, God looks on the heart. I can't judge your heart. All right, you know, maybe outward appearance, maybe things don't look right, but you know what? I don't know your true intentions. It's kind of like text messaging. You know, when your wife, you know, says, well, I want to do this. And I say, fine. Like, okay, that's good. Go ahead and do it. And she says, well, what's the attitude? Why are you so mad about that? I said it was fine. Or if I just say, sometimes I'll just say, okay, they're like, well, don't you want to expound on that? Don't you have an opinion? No, okay. Or sometimes I say, okay, good. And she's like, okay, good. You know, like, you know, they don't see the true intentions. You know, most guys are, you know, they're busy and doing whatever and they're trying to answer, you know, text or whatever. They're not going to say a book or whatever. So I had to find out that you have to change your text based on people. So some people get offended by your text. And then you try to call them, they won't take your phone call. And then you text them and they don't think you're sincere. So I don't know what you should do. Just go on Facebook and gripe about them. I don't know. The point is, I can't judge your heart. Nobody else can either. You know, and that's the deal. I mean, you know, people, I mean, you, we're not always perfect. We mess up sometimes, but God loves us anyway. He loves us, and Jesus still died on the cross. In fact, he died on the cross for the sinners, not the Christians. He died on the cross for everybody. He loves everybody all the same. And we all can enjoy life in the fast lane if we just jump in. You know, but in order for us to get our fast lane pass, in fact, it was interesting. We actually, there was a part of our group that was in line for this roller coaster. We went, found some other people, went all together to buy the passes, came back in line, got in line, and beat them on the coaster. But you know what? If we would have never got out of the line we were in, we would have never gotten the fast lane. Sometimes you have to be willing to get out of your comfort zone. It's comfortable waiting. Well, I'm not sure how comfortable it is waiting in 100 degree weather, you know, and to ride a roller coaster. But, you know, sometimes, well, this is what I'm used to. This is the way we've always done it for 28 years. Every time I've gone to a theme park, I've got in line and waited my turn. You know, and now you're making me pay more. No one's making you do anything. But the thing with God, you don't have to pay anything. Jesus paid it all. He gave you your fast pass, I mean, you know, you have a carte blanche. You can go anywhere and do anything you want. He's giving you free access to Jesus. You know, we don't have to wait in line. We just come on in. We sit at the table. You know, you don't have to feel whether you, I don't care if you feel you're worthy or don't feel you're worthy. It's not about how you feel. It's not about how you look. It's not even about how you act. Some of you didn't act very good yesterday, maybe. It's about you're willing to come on in, sit down at the table, and fellowship with the Lord. Ask him what you desire. But God desires all of us to have life in the fast lane. to have a life that's you know, a good life, a life that's more than enough. He doesn't want us to walk around in poverty and sickness and disease. A lot of times the reason we do is because we haven't decided that we're gonna take a hold of God's goodness in this area. I mean, I've seen people, you know, there's a lot of people who get healed or God blesses them financially, but whenever they're full of worry, they don't do anything about it. They just sit there. They never ask God to help them with their worry. Well, God can help me with wisdom. He said he can help me with wisdom, but I don't know what we can do with worry. Jesus didn't come for you to worry. He didn't come for you to fret. He came for you to have life and have it more abundantly. So get out of the slow lane and come into the fast lane with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this quick little message or whatever it was. Father God, help us to understand that you love us so much and that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, to grant us free access to the fast lane. And Father God, help us in every situation, whenever we're going through our situations and circumstances, help us to understand that we can freely come and you're there ready, willing, and able to take care of whatever we're going through. Father God, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's here in this room and watching us online. And we thank you, Father, for their life. We thank you, Father, to help them understand or remember this message whenever they're going through life and things are passing them by and other people are passing them by and they begin to make excuses. Help them understand, you know what? I can jump out of my line and get into the fast lane, but all I have to do is do it. Just go out and do it. Just simply come boldly before the throne of God. I don't have to pay any money. I don't have to pray enough. I just have to simply just jump on in. Father God, we just thank you for these folks. Thank you for their lives. We just thank you for everything that you've done for them. But Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that doesn't know your son Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without knowing him as their Savior and Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight, this morning, excuse me, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never been saved, and you want to be saved this morning, then lift your hand. We want to pray with you across the auditorium. You're here today, and you've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of your life, and you want to today. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here this morning, and you say, Craig, man, I walked with God. I did all the right things, but man, I kind of turned my back on God. I've kind of walked away. But today I want to come and I want to recommit to God publicly. I want to rededicate my life to God again. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across the auditorium. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm on the road to heaven. But I've heard you guys have talked about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I've kind of been afraid of the Holy Spirit and the tongue thing or whatever. But this morning, I want to be filled. I tell you what, it's extra endowment from power from on high. There's nothing scary about it. It's an awesome experience. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, this is your morning. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you across the auditorium. Anybody here need prayer? Let's all stand up. Father God, we just thank you right now. If anyone is here that doesn't know your son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. Father God, we just thank you that you will move on their behalf. We thank you, Father, for sending laborers across their path. Thank you, Father, they won't have any kind of peace whatsoever until they come to the saving knowledge of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. One more thing before we go. I'm not going to have a big prayer line or whatever, but you know what? If you're here in this room and you have sickness or disease in your body, I want you to lift your hand right now, and I want those around about the people. I want us to turn around and find someone that might need healing. And I want to pray for you while they're praying for you. Father God, right now, we thank you across this auditorium and through these cameras. Father, we thank you if anyone is here that needs healing, whether they're here in this room, whether they're watching us on the internet, and they need healing in their body. We thank you, Father, that healing power is flowing to them right now. touching them, driving out whatever Satan has been trying to do. We thank you, Father, right now for testimonies that we shall hear, that we shall see. We thank you, Father, for it now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for just touching that back, touching that leg. We thank you, Father, for touching that head right now. We thank you, Father, for ministering to them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. If you're a first-time visitor, we have our connection team there. They'll be in the aisle. They want to take you to a special place, and we have a special gift for you. We want to make sure that you get that gift. So just go with them to a special place, and we want to, you know, thank you for coming. I said if you're just in from out of town and, you know, live somewhere else, I mean, make this your home away from home anytime you're in our area. Amen. Well, praise God. Don't forget tonight, 6 p.m. right here. We have service tonight at 6 p.m. And then Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Brother Tim Rogers will be ministering Wednesday night. Don't forget about buying Driller's tickets. You know, some of you might not even know who the Driller's is. I think, you know that's it's a professional baseball team. Well, semi-professional baseball team, or double A. You know, come out to, we'll have a good time with the Driller's. Amen. Well, you know what? We just miss around here. Well, by the way, if you're from Oklahoma City, I'll be there tonight, 6 p.m. Maybe we just miss around here. The pastors are going through the doors right now. Shake your hands. Rich will be singing a song, and he'll just miss you in a few minutes. God bless you. Take care. Have a wonderful day, and enjoy life in the fast lane.
Today is a day.